Good evening. Good to see all of you. Wow. I think we're going to have some small crowds tomorrow. Could some of you come back tomorrow? I mean, I know we're doing the tree lighting thing, but we would really like to fill it up tomorrow, too. It's kind of weird, but thank you for being here and those watching online. We're launching a new sermon series called Emmanuel. And what that means is God is with us. And we're going to be talking about that the whole month of December. And we're using this base scripture. It's a theological term about the incarnation. It means that God became flesh and he dwelt among us. And I just want to tell you that on Christmas Eve, we're adding another service. We're doing four services on Christmas Eve. And I would love for you to attend one of those. We're having one at 12:30. We're having the second one at 2 o'clock. You can write these down. We're going to have one at 3:30, and we're going to have one at 5. 12:30, 2, 3:30, and 5. And, you know, Christmas is that time of the year, and a lot of people don't believe this, but actually people who are disconnected to the church and to the Lord, they are more apt to come on Christmas than they are at Easter. And so if you would get excited about Christmas Eve and invite somebody, a stranger, a coworker, a classmate, a neighbor, it would be so, so awesome. And I would just really appreciate if you took advantage of that opportunity. We want to start with this verse we're going to use in the whole month. It's the base verse of this series, Matthew 1:23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's say that together, God with us. That's the main theme of the whole series. And for those of you who are Christ followers, it's easy to believe that God is with you when things are going good, when you're on the mountaintop. It's easy to believe whenever there's really good news, when you get a raise, when your baby sleeps through the night for the first time, when you get that prime parking spot at the mall and you think, oh God, thank you for this great spot. You're so good. It's easy to sense the presence of God when things are going good, when you're on the mountaintop. But sometimes it's more difficult to sense his presence when you're in the valley. When things aren't going the way you want them to, when you get bad news, when you're hurting, maybe you feel a little bit alone, maybe you're a little worried, maybe you're a little afraid, maybe you're battling a little bit of depression, I want to talk to you today about God being in the valley. And what's interesting to me is so often, much of your life, so many things go really, really well. In other words, you've got all these different pockets where you're kind of on the mountaintop, but there's this one area that's really weighing you down. It's just bringing you down. So much is good, but this one thing just brings a serious weight to your life. Sometimes you're on the mountaintop and everything's going great, and then something happens. You get sick. Somebody dies. There's a car crash, cancer. A few years ago, someone took this picture, and it was at our house. And that's my dad and my mom and my two boys and my daughter-in-law. And that dog is up there on that. That's Sammy Grace. We got rid of that pillar. We don't have that anymore, But my dad was my best friend, and I knew he was sick, and I didn't think he was going to get any better. And I worked with him a couple of years early on in my ministry in Oklahoma City. I was his youth pastor for almost 2 years. I had already been preaching 3.5 years at Alba, Missouri, and then I preached 5 years down in Tyler, Texas. So I'd been preaching 8.5 years on my own, and I had this son, and I just wanted to be with my dad. And so I went to be his youth pastor, and It was quite an experience, and I realized after about a year that I needed to go preach on my own. I needed to get my own church. But I when I came to Fresno, I decided that I wasn't coming to Fresno 26 years ago. I made that decision. I'm not coming to Fresno. And then the elders kept asking me, is there anything we could do to get you to come to Fresno? I was down in Downey, California. And I just threw this thing out there that if you hired my dad, I would come to Fresno. And it was quite an ordeal. We had like a month of meetings and all this talk. But I came here because my dad was coming here so I could be with my best friend. And he gave me so much good advice. And the last 4 years of his life, cancer hit him pretty good, and he thought he was going to beat it all. My mom got to a point where she couldn't take care of him, and she asked me to tell him that he was going to have to go into a home. And we did that we had dinner on a Sunday night, and I was at a table, and I told him that, and he just started crying. I mean, it was the saddest moment of my life, but we needed to get him into a place where nurses and doctors could take care of him. He was in two different homes for just about a year, and he still came to church on the weekends, Saturday night and Sunday morning, and he was such a great example. He was loving on people, greeting people, and just telling crazy jokes, and some of them weren't really good, but some of them were. And I miss him. I'm telling you, I miss him. And I've been struggling a bit lately. And I've actually been talking to a professional psychiatrist on Zoom on my computer. And one of the things that this psychiatrist told me was that when his dad died, they had the church, and there was over 1,000 people at the funeral. And every one of them came up to him and hugged him and loved on him. And he said, you know, when we had this funeral for my dad, there was about 50 people in this auditorium. And I know most of you watched it online, but he believes really that because of that small crowd, that's one of the reasons that I'm struggling with some things. But I got to tell you this. I think he's wrong. I got to tell you this. I know that he's in heaven. And I know that he's with the Lord. And I know one day I'm going to be there very, very soon. I'm excited about that. There is a mountaintop and then there's the valley. There's good stuff and then there's a tragedy. And it just comes in and it steals everything that you've been hoping for. And unfortunately, some of you are there right now. There are some seasons and some pockets in your life that are really, really good. Your marriage is blessed, but you got a kid that's making crazy and stupid decisions, and that hurts so much. Or you're really close to God and you sense God's presence, but at the same time, you're afraid you're going to lose your job. You're really excited about the holidays, getting together with family members, and yet you just got really bad medical news about yourself or somebody close to you that you really love. And so there are many good things, and yet there are one or two things that just kind of take you down into the valley. And I want to share with you today, where is God in the valleys? When you look at Scripture, it's interesting that the valleys represent several things. You've seen in the valleys that there were often battles that took place in the valleys. Some of you right now, you may be in a battle in the middle of a valley right now. Valleys represent depression. Valleys represent loneliness. But it's also interesting that valleys also represent a season of growth, that you may enjoy God in some ways on the mountaintop, but you get to experience him different ways when you're in the valley. If you have your notes, and we kind of messed up on this first point, but here's the first point. You may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but you experience him differently This is really the only main point, and we have like four subpoints. But you experience him differently when you are in the valley. And I added this down below. We get to know him intimately when we're in the valley. We may know him, we may enjoy him when times are really good, but we get to know him in a different way when we're in the valleys. I want to read to you a passage of scripture from Psalms 84. You've probably read it, but I believe most of us have just skimmed right over it. And I want to teach you these three verses. It says, Psalm 84, verse 5, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you." And you means God. Blessed whose strength is in God. You have set your hearts on pilgrimage, and as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. It's a peaceful setting. A place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. So what is the Valley of Baca? The Valley of Baca was related to a tree. It's a very similar spelling. And this tree would ooze out sap. And if you walk by this tree, people were calling this tree a weeper. It looked like the tree was crying. And that's why the Valley of Baca is translated several different ways in the scripture. It's called the Valley of Tears. It's called the Valley of Weeping. It's called the Valley of Loss. And anytime you are in the valley, it's not going to be great. When you see a valley in the Bible, it would be very, very dangerous. There would be thorns. There would be wild animals. People would rob and jump on you, and there would be these the worst animals in the world, like cats. Satan's favorite animal in the valley was a cat. I just can't believe some of you keep posting cats on Instagram. I saw this on TikTok. I want you to see it.
Hey, Google, stop music.
What are you doing?
What am I doing? What are you doing?
We're having spa day.
Spa day, okay. All right, enough of this nonsense. Let's go, Chase. Come on.
He doesn't want to go with you.
Let's go, Chase. Come on. Oh, fine.
Hey, Google, play.
Man, that's a valley. It's sometimes difficult to get to the valley without something bad happening. It can be challenging to get through a valley. That's why the psalmist says in verse 5, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you." It's in God. Some of you may not be followers of Christ, and you're here tonight, and we're glad you're here. And if you don't know God intimately, the chances are at times when you just get to a point where you say, I've had enough. I can't do anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. I just can't do enough. The truth is, if you don't know God intimately, then what you have is all you have. What you have is all that you have. But for Christ followers, we believe that we have a strength that goes beyond just what we have. We have access to a heavenly strength. That's why the psalmist said, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you," in God. Letter A in your notes, we believe that when we get to the end of our strength, there is a heavenly strength. There is a divine strength. A strength from God that is available to those who know him. When I was in high school, I played basketball and a little football, and I was very skinny, but I had a very good friend I met. His name was Scott Wagers, and by the way, our senior year, I got to baptize him at our church, and but he was actually skinnier than I was, and we were two guards on the basketball team, and he wanted to lift weights, and so we did these sets on a bar, and we would do these things, and I've never lifted weights since then, just for the record. But after we would do these sets, Scott had this idea that we could just, after we did all, you know, we were exhausted, he would say, let's just do the bar like 100 times. And I was like, man, no, I can't do it. No, do it fast. And I would be on the bar and I'd be doing that. And I was so weak, I really couldn't do it. I'd get to about 20 and I was just absolutely collapsed. He would go, no, fast and furious, do it. You can do this, David. You can do it. And he was behind me lifting the bar. And he was yelling, it's all you. It's all you're doing it. And I got to about 40 and he lifted half of those and I just quit. I couldn't do it anymore. But Scott was still there. He was still cheering me on. He said, it's all you. Keep going. It wasn't me. It was all him. But at the end of my strength, Scott took over. And the good news is, for those of you who are Christ followers, there is a power that is bigger than Scott Wagers. It is our God who, when you hit the end of your strength, his strength is made perfect, the Bible says, in your weakness. His strength is made absolutely perfect. Blessed are those whose strength is in God. If you're in the middle of a valley right now, you have access to a very real, ever-present power of a good God who is available, who is ready, who is willing to assist you in your time of need. The text doesn't say, blessed are those who make it on their own. It doesn't say, blessed are those who pull themselves up by the bootstraps. It doesn't say, blessed are those who are really, really determined. Blessed are those whose strength is in God. I've got this letter B down here. One of the big problems in our world today, many of us have this crushing desire to be independent. We just want this spirit of independence. We don't need anybody. We don't want anybody. I want to be financially independent. I want to be completely good on my own. I don't want to trust people. I don't want people to be there for me. I don't need God. I don't need anybody. My friend, we are not created to be independent. We are created to depend upon him and to depend upon others. Blessed are you when you realize that you are dependent and you have a power greater than yourself. Some of you need to lean into that. Some of you just need to admit that. I don't have what it takes. I need his presence. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. The New Living Version, I like this a lot. It says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. I love that. We're on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. What does that mean? We may be in the valley, but we're going to what was known as a city of refuge. We're going to a place that was called the place of springs, or in other words, a place of peace. That's where we're going. One commentary said this, to get to the city of refuge, you had to travel through the valley of tears. I love that imagery. Sometime to get to where you really appreciate the presence and the power of God, you got to push through a little bit. You got to go through the little bit of pain. You got to get to that presence and the goodness of God. I put it this way in my notes, letter C. For so many, the valley is the pathway to the place of peace. We push through. We're on a pilgrimage. The psalmist said in the New Living Translation, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds. Everybody say this. I want everybody to say this. My mind is set. Can you say that? 1, 2, 3. My mind is set. We're on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Blessed are those who have their minds set toward God. Friend, what you think about matters so much. What you think about matters. Paul said this to in the New Testament to the Colossian believers. He said, set your minds on things above, not on things below, not on earthly things. He told the Philippian believers this, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy or admirable or lovely, think about such things. Where you are is one thing, but what you think about is something else. Last Saturday evening, I recorded the Oklahoma State game. I was down here listening to Zach preach. He did a great job. And I went home and I started the game from the beginning. And we were ahead. We got ahead. We were playing pretty good. And we're going into the fourth quarter and we were 9 points up on Oklahoma State. And by the end of the game, we lost. And then the next day, our coach decided he was leaving Oklahoma and going to the University of Southern California. And they bought his two, he had two homes in Norman, and they bought both of them way overpriced. And they gave him, I don't know what the contract is, but it's pretty high. They gave him a private jet. He can go anywhere he wants to go. And I haven't stopped thinking about it all week. I don't know who's going to be our coach. I just can't stop thinking about it. What you think about matters. Listen, you need to hear this right now. Your current situation, you may be in the valley, but your mind can still be set on God. Your heart may be racing right now, but your mind can be set on God. Your soul may be aching right now, but your mind can be set on God. Your emotions may be all over the place right now, but you can have your mind set toward God. There may be too much to do. There may be pressure from the in-laws, and you're wondering, how are we going to pay for Christmas? And on and on and on. There is a real tragedy in the valley, but my mind is set on the goodness of God. He is with me. He is for me. Greater is the one who is in me than he that is in the world. God is going before you. He's preparing a way for you. His Spirit gives you strength when you're down, when you're in the valley. You need him. I need him every moment of every day. His word is a lamp unto my feet. He is a light unto my path. And when I cannot make it, his power is very, very real. I may be in the valley, but my mind is set on the kingdom of God. I'm on a pilgrimage. I'm going to a place of peace. You may be in the valley, but your mind is fixed. Verse 6 says, they pass through the valley of Baca and they make it to a place of springs. In other words, you may be in the valley right now, but the valley is not our destination. What are we doing? We're just passing through. You may be in a valley right now, but that's not your home. You're journeying to a place of peace. You're just passing through. My God's going to get me through this. I'm just passing through. David said something very similar in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's exactly what we just read about. He was born of a virgin and God, and Jesus is with us. Emmanuel, he is with us. You may be in the valley right now, but I'm telling you, you're just passing through it. You may be going through very difficult times, but God's going to get you through it. You may be hurting right now, but God's going to get you through it. He's going to pull you out of it. I may be in a dark place right now, but we're just passing through the valley of Baca. Sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you just want to say, God, get me out of this. Make it go away. Make it stop. I don't want this anymore. Just take it away. I just want out. You have to realize so often that God may show you the way, and the way is usually through the valley. It's not out of the valley. The road to the path of peace is usually through the valley, but you're just passing through. You're just passing through. I love this next phrase. It says, as the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. In the King James Version, and we don't read King James very much around here, the verse says this, they make it a well. Okay? They make it a well. They make it a place of springs. In other words, and here's the last point, letter D, whenever you're in a dry place, what do you need to do? You need to dig a well. You need to make a well. You need to make a hole. You need to create a container for the provision of the rain that God is going to send. God hasn't sent it yet. It's a dry right now, but when you're dry and when you're hurting and when you make room for the presence of God, you make room for the provision of God, you make a well. It hadn't rained yet, but God's going to provide everything you need. So here's the last part of that verse, that letter D. Here's what I want you to write down. Make a container. And you ought to prepare for the presence and the provision of God. It's almost as if God would say something like this. You show me your faith, and I will show you my faithfulness. If you dig it, I will fill it. If you prepare for me, I will show up. You show me your faith, I will show you my faithfulness. Jesus apparently had this kind of philosophy in the New Testament. Remember the guy who had a shriveled hand, it was all withered, and Jesus just said, hey, he didn't say, I'm just going to heal you and it's going to be over. He didn't say that. He said, you stretch out your hand and I will heal it. What he was basically saying is, you show me that you believe that I can heal your hand, and I will do it. We talked about this guy in John. For 38 years, he was paralyzed. And what did the Lord say? Jesus just didn't say, Jesus' power, you're healed. No, what did he say? He said, pick up your mat. You get up. You show me that you believe that I can make you walk. And if you show me your faith, I'll show you my faithfulness. I don't know who this speaks to, but some of you need to hear this. If you dig it, he will fill it. If you plant it, he will grow it. You have to plant your seed before you see the harvest. If you pray it, God hears your prayer. If you dig it, if you prepare, God will reveal himself. When you're in a dry place, you make a well. You prepare for the presence and the provision of God. If you show me your faith, I will show you my faithfulness. I love the if promises in the Bible. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. You show me that you believe, and I will show you my presence. If you seek me, you will find me. If you make room for me, I will reveal myself to you. If you're here today and you haven't sensed the presence of God in a long time, you need to make a well. You need to dig a ditch. It's time to say, God, I'm going to stop and wait for your presence. I'm going to prepare for your provision and your presence, because if you dig it, he will fill it. Think about this. Some of you really need an encounter with God. God rarely reveals himself to people who are hurried, who are rushed. That should sink into you. Imagine Moses at the burning bush, and Moses is in a car, and he drives by 75 miles an hour, and he sees the burning bush, and he takes a picture of it, and he puts it on an Instagram. It's a story. The bush is burning, but it's not consumed. That's not what God says. God says, hey, why don't you stay a while? Why don't you take off your sandals? You're standing on holy ground. Why don't you take a moment and be still and know that I am God? Why don't you make a well and just wait on me? Because I'm going to fill it. If you dig it, I will fill it. And you seek me, you will find me. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Be still and know that I am God. We started our church back in meetings inside a year ago, September. And we were, I think, the first church in town that did that. And we had a little staff meeting, and we just thought we ought to do it. And so we started meeting in here, and I mean, we just did it by faith. We believed God wanted us to meet, and we started having good crowds. We were stunned. People were volunteering. People were leading the way. People were coming and giving and leading, and it was amazing, and I was on the mountaintop. And then I kind of slipped into the valley. On August 28th, a good friend of mine, Keith Jackson, passed away. He had COVID. He and his wife went into the hospital. They both had it. She came out a week later. He went on the ventilator for several weeks, and he passed. And he was such a good man. He was so kind to me. He would always shake my hand and encourage me. I mean, I could preach a bad sermon and he would just say something wonderful to me. I miss him. And our church has changed quite a bit. We've had people on all three services who were sitting on the front row. And I'm telling you, they're never coming back to Cross City. I've never seen them, and I've called some of them, I've written some of them, and they just say, we're not doing it. And that kind of sends me into the valley. It just, God has been good to us. He has grown our church. We have more people. We have more visitors. It's amazing. He is so good. But the church has changed, and I just kind of struggle with it. It's hard for me to grasp that people just won't come back. And I see them on social media all the time. They're going to Disney. I saw last week this couple. They told me they're not coming back, and they went to a car race, and they're in the middle of thousands of people. None of them had a mask on. But church is just a little too dangerous to show up. There's a mountaintop and there's a valley. For some of you, it's just time to prepare and say, God, I need to meet you. I want to wait for you. I'm going to believe that you're going to reveal yourself to me because I need you right now. I'm telling all of you, you need to make a well for him. You need to prepare for his presence. I need his presence. You do too. I can remember as a little boy, 5 years of age, and I loved Christmas so much because my dad was so jolly and funny and generous and giving. This is my second Christmas without him. And I'm telling you, I'm not slipping into the valley of depression. I want to be around for my boys. I want to be around for my daughters-in-law. I want to be around for my grandkids. I want to be around as long. I want to be like him. I want to inspire them. I want to motivate them. I want to challenge them. I want to bless them. Yes, we enjoy him on the mountain. But I'm telling you, we get to know him intimately in the valley. Here's what I hope you understand. God never promised that you would never go through the valley. But here's what he did promise, that when you go through the valley, he is with you. He is with us. The virgin will be with child, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Blessed are those who experience the strength of God. Blessed are those whose strength is found in you. They go from a little bit of strength to a little more strength, to a little more strength, and even to a little more strength, till each appears before God in Zion. They go from strength to strength. It's not our strength, it's his strength. And sometimes we get punched in the gut. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes a loved one of ours passes away. And you know what you need? You need an encounter with God. Sometimes I get bad news from the church. I got several messages this week that were not good. And sometimes I just need to get out of the house. Sometimes I just need, I need to leave the family, and I just need to go have an encounter with God. And sometimes I get in the car and I drive, and it's very dangerous because I'm praying as I'm driving. Got one eye open. And then sometimes I just take a walk. It's not nearly as dangerous. But there are times when you need to encounter God. And I've been able to be on the mountaintop. And I've wrestled with things every week. But I'm telling you, I'm on the mountaintop. When my son was born, my first son, I was in Texas for 5 years. And he was born 2 months early. And he was in the hospital for 2 weeks. They took him to Dallas. He came home. We took him to church. He was fussy. He just cried all the time. And everybody at church said, oh, he's just a little colicky. It's fine. 2 weeks later, we took him back to the hospital. He came home for 2 weeks. He got meningitis. He went back to the Dallas hospital. I had to teach on a Wednesday night a Bible study. And I got home, and the doctor called me from a Dallas hospital and said, you better pray. Your son has a collapsed lung. He's got, I'm not even going to tell you all the issues he had. But he said he may not make it through the night. And he said, you need to arrive here as soon as you can. And I basically stayed at home, and I prayed all night long. And early in the morning, I went to the hospital. And when I got there, they said he was fine. He had a lot of health issues, but as I went through that valley, he's 31 years of age now. He's a teacher in Madera. He sells houses. If you need to sell a house, he was a very good realtor. He's a coach. I'm just blessed. I've been through many valleys, but here's what I want you to understand. Yes, we want to praise him on the mountaintop, but we also need to praise him when we're in the valley. We get to know him better in the valley. He reveals his character to us when we're in the valley. He can give you your strength, a heavenly strength, a divine strength when you're in the valley, and we totally and completely need him. We have nothing else. We need him. Yes, we're just passing through. If you feel weak right now, who is God? In the middle of your weakness, my God is your strength. When you're in the darkness, who is God? Our God is your light in the darkness. When you're in a season of trouble, who is our God? He is your joy in the middle of your trouble. He is the relief in the middle of your pain. Who is our God? He is your comforter in the middle of whatever you're going through. We're just passing through the valley. And even though we're in the valley, we should not fear. Why? Because he is with us. The same God who's with us on the mountaintops, He is also with us, and he is good to us when we're in the valley. We get to know him in the valley. If you're in the valley right now and you're just passing through it, you won't be there forever. God's going to get you out. He's good. He's with you. He is present. He will take you from strength to strength. When you can't handle it anymore, you need to lean in on him and let his strength be everything you need. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're God and you're with us. Who are you? You are Emmanuel, God with us. So, Father, today I pray for those of you who are in the valley, that you would be everything that they need. Some of you might be saying, yeah, there are a lot of pockets in my life that are really good right now, but there's this one pocket in this valley, and it's just so, so difficult. I'm praying for you right now that you will get to know him in the valley, that you will dig a well, that you will prepare for the provision and the presence of God. We all need to slow down. We all need to pause a little bit and draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. I know some of you need miracles right now. And Lord, we praise you, God, not just because of what you do. We praise you because of who you are. We thank you that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And by the power of God, listen to what he did. By the power of God, he defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. I went to my dad's grave Friday. And I spent about 45 seconds there. Because I know he's not in there. That's just his old body. He's in heaven. God defeated all that stuff. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. If you will call on the name of the Lord, the name that is above every name, if you will call on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven. You'll be completely new. If you're at the top and maybe you feel a little empty, he'll meet you there. If you're at the bottom and you're hurting, he will meet you there. The only thing that is separating us from him is our sin right now. And the Bible says he brings life abundantly, and we need his grace. We need his mercy. We need his salvation. We need everything from him. If you have not given your life to him, I'm encouraging you to do that right now, to just surrender yourself to him. And even when you're going through a terrible time and you're down in that valley, he is with you. You will get to know him better and more intimately than you ever have before. And he will pull you out and he'll put you back on the mountaintop. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. If you have any decision you want to make, we'd love to help you, assist you, pray with you, help you in any way that we can. Let's sing this hymn of decision.